Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Alec Torres of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. It's his first time on the Three Martini Lunch. Alec, it's great to have you.
Great to be here, Greg.
Well, we have good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual, and we start with the good, as we normally do. And one of the things that we've seen a lot from Democrats, and while we're seeing more and more of them talk about how they're shocked Obamacare is not rolled out the way they expected, some of the effects of Obamacare are not what they voted for, so on and so forth, we still haven't seen very many Democrats at all, especially in the Senate, actually break ranks and vote to radically amend or even repeal Obamacare. But it looks like that is about to change. In a town hall meeting in West Virginia, Joe Manchin, who did famously say last fall that he would like to delay the individual mandate and then promptly voted not to do that, said that he will vote tomorrow, meaning today, to repeal the ACA, but I want to fix the problems in it, he says. So, Alec, I'm not exactly sure that he's fully on board with repeal when you look at that comment, but at the same time, I'm sure he's hearing from most of his constituents in West Virginia that they're not exactly thrilled with this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the infuriating little things about that report that they have that quote, but it's not included in the video. So we don't quite know the context. We don't know what the question exactly was asked that he's responding to. But if anything, it does show an indication that the Democratic line, at least with Manchin now, is shifting. Before, it was always turn to the Republicans, blame the Republicans. You aren't trying to fix this. You voted 100 times to repeal it. All you want to do is take it down. You just want to go back to the same old bad system. And then finally, you have this Democrat who seems to be saying, hey, you know, we might have done something wrong here. I still want to fix it, but maybe we should think about repeal. I haven't heard anything yet from Manchin's office, haven't heard anything yet from Manchin trying to clarify this, but it was a big statement. It's making a splash around the news. So, hey, I'm taking this as good news.
Now, red state Democrats would be the first one you would kind of expect to do that, and Manchin certainly fits that category. It'll be interesting to see some of these embattled senators who actually are up for re-election this year, whether it's Pryor or Begich or Landrieu or one of those folks, or maybe even Kay Hagan, although I doubt it, to go this far. Do you think we're likely to see any of those folks do it, or are they pretty much wedded to this because they voted for it?
I don't see it being too possible for too many to switch on this. I mean, their votes are on it. Republicans and super PACs on the right are already airing ads against a lot of these candidates, highlighting their votes for it, with them saying, hey, we like Obamacare, we are passing Obamacare, and if you like your doctor, you can keep it. There's only so much backtracking you can do before people get that, ooh, this is a seedy politician, and I don't like that feeling, which no politician wants to have. Would I be surprised if maybe one or two more came? Not really. Would I be surprised if nobody did? No, not really at all either.
You never know what's going to be necessary, quote unquote, to win re-election. It's a big year for Republicans, too. Not only is this, of course, a midterm election in the president's second term, which is normally pretty good for the party out of power in the White House, but this is the last time Republicans are going to get a crack for the first time at senators that voted for Obamacare, voted for the stimulus. By the time we get to 2016, it'll be the second time around for anybody on the Democratic side that actually survived in 2010. So on to martini number two now, Alec. And we know from statistics over the last 40 years that the numbers of abortions across this country are absolutely heartbreaking. And we're seeing in major metropolitan areas, and in this report specifically New York City, that it's more tragic than perhaps we even realized. According to a report by New York City's Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, in 2012, there were more black babies killed by abortion, 31,328 in one year, 31,328, than were born alive, 24,758. There were nearly 74,000 abortions total just in one year in New York City. And the black abortions comprised over 42% of that. So when you look at the toll being taken by abortion, not just over 40 years, but right now in a place like New York City, it's not only heartbreaking, but it makes you wonder why the percentage of voters in the black community are where they are.
It is just horribly depressing to see these numbers. We've known for a while that New York is the abortion capital of the United States. It's just per capita, it's so high here. But to actually see the numbers laid out and by a New York City governmental agency, too, though they obviously didn't call it abortions. They said, and quote, induced termination, end quote. It just makes it that much more frightening. The people on the right, pro-lifers, have been pointing out the fact that abortions largely target minority groups, that it's minorities who choose abortion so much more than white people. But for some reason, this hasn't done anything to change the politics, and I'm not sure why.
Amazing, amazing. 6,570 more abortions than live births of black children in New York City in the year 2012. Just incredible. All right, on to martini number three now, and this relates to a story that Alec recently did for National Review Online, and that's the new Democratic scourge against smoking. Now, that's nothing new, but this is, because now they're going after e-cigarettes. These are the ones that, of course, don't put out the secondhand smoke, the tar and so forth that gives you the nicotine, and it gives you the feel and the ambiance of smoke, but it's not like a normal cigarette. So I know you've looked into this deeply, Alec. What's the truth on these things, and why are the Democrats going after this too?
Well, it's amazing. It seems that Democrats have a tendency to choose something that science doesn't necessarily support and go for it anyway. I mean, you can see this on Keystone, their own State Department. Their own administration's own State Department came out and said, hey, this isn't going to cause a big environmental impact. And what do? They say, you know, this is just one report. We need to have so many more. It's just not enough. Well, here you get the FDA doesn't even want to do a report on it yet. They keep pushing back the deadline of reviewing this, but you have a ton of private agencies of scientists looking into it and saying, you know what? Sure, it's nicotine. It's not the best thing for you, but it's not nearly as harmful as cigarettes. It doesn't produce the secondhand smoke that cigarettes do. One study said that it only has 10% of the harmful chemicals that cigarette smoke does and the water vapor that's exhaled. And yet Democrats are treating it completely, just utterly completely, like it's a cigarette. I mean, I don't know how they put two and two together besides completely ignoring the facts on this one.
Are they getting much traction on this?
They are and they aren't. For a lot of people, I mean, most people in America aren't smokers. So they say, I'm not going to smoke a cigarette. I'm not going to smoke an e-cigarette. What do I care if it's banned? So you see some in Minnesota, there's a state legislature proposing a ban everywhere where cigarettes are banned, e-cigarettes are banned. A group of Democrats want to ban e-cigarettes anywhere within buildings or within 25 feet of buildings on Capitol Hill. And that's just the beginning of it. And so far, there hasn't been much of an outcry. It's a sad thing because you probably won't get a grand coalition coming out in favor of something that, you know, looks and seems like a cigarette from any direction. But it really, you know, all the facts say that this is something that can really help smokers by helping them to quit. And yet the Democrats are still trying to shoot it out of the water.
Alec, for conservative and even libertarian non-smokers, there's kind of a conflict here. On the one hand, we kind of like going to places now. You don't have to worry about the secondhand smoke if you're turned off by that sort of thing. But the personal liberty, personal choice side of you is bristling as you watch people have to shiver out in the cold to enjoy their cigarette like they're some sort of criminal. What's the policy on these in bars, restaurants, that sort of thing?
Well, it's a lot of local policies right now. Overall, there's nothing overarching saying that you can't, but a lot of legislatures are pulling it up. You know, it reminds me a little bit. I got addicted to How I Met Your Mother a while ago. Sadly, it's a show that hasn't been too substantive or been too fun to watch in the past few seasons. But regardless, there was this one scene where a character brought in a cigar into a restaurant, just had it sitting out, and this couple sitting across from him said, hey, can you not smoke that in here? You know, that's horrible. We don't want to see that. She said, okay, put it back in a bag and just set it down on the counter. The couple across said, oh, hey, can you put that away? We don't want to look at those. We don't want to see it. And she looked at them and rolled her eyes and was like, what are you talking about? That seems about the reaction here. You see cigarettes and people go, no, I can't have that. I don't want that. You know, they're banning it indoors, even though there's no reason to.
Finally, I know tobacco was on the very long laundry list of things that Mayor Bloomberg hated. Do we know where de Blasio stands on this one?
Oh, gosh. You know, I don't personally know where de Blasio stands. It seems like if you just pay attention to him any given day, he's saying something more ridiculous or more antithetical to the well-being of New Yorkers. I wouldn't be surprised if he came out against this, but I haven't seen anything personally.
Well, if you want to learn more about the emerging Democratic hatred of e-cigarettes, head to National Review Online and check out Alec's piece on that. He's also got an interesting story up on Mississippi Senator Thad Cochran. Alec, hope you enjoyed your maiden voyage here on the Three Martini Lunch, and we look forward to having you back.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It was a great time.
Alec Torres of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. Jim will be back on Monday. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us then for the next Three Martini Lunch.